Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. My name is Christoph, and with me this morning is Jeff.
Hey, Christoph. Good morning.
How you doing?
I am well. I am pumped that you and I are sitting here recording a podcast together. It has been a while.
I should have, before we did this, I should have looked back to see when the last one you and I did together was.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a bit, but yeah. This is really exciting. Just like I was excited that you were preaching on Sunday, because it had been a while as well. So
thank you. That's been almost a year. Yeah.
That was great. But yeah, it's good to see you, man.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be back in here. Yeah, sitting back in front of the microphone, getting ready to just talk about Sunday's message. I almost introduced you as the host. And me as the co-host. I thought that you would have appreciated that.
That would have been exciting for everybody, I think.
Well, it's the sort of excitement that we bring to to people's speakers, right?
Do we know? I don't know off the top of my head what number we are on. I could probably look on my phone.
Podcast number?
Yeah. We're getting up there. We're getting really up there.
It was close to, I think we were talking about getting close to 200 or 250.
250.
Or 250. That's wild. Wow. Yeah,
that is actually really quite amazing. And thank you to everyone who does listen. And you know, our hope for the podcast is always that both that it helps expand what was preached on Sunday, right, and gives us time to talk through it, but also just that it's an opportunity to hear what's going on at Faith as well. Like it's sermon, it's following Jesus, it's connecting at Faith, and I think it's been a blessing to a lot of people. So really thankful for that.
Yeah, and I mean, selfishly, it's a little bit of a blessing for us too, just to, I mean, I don't know if you feel this way. I feel this way almost every time I preach is, this is what I wish I would have talked about. This is what, like, you just kind of like rearrange things in your brain. You also get feedback from people and you're like, oh, that's how you took that. Okay, like, and so for us, like, it's such a blessing just to be able to do this podcast and to get to talk about, what's going on and all that.
I agree. It is fun. So this,
were you able to find it?
Yeah, that's what I was just looking up. This will be podcast number 247.
Okay.
Which is wild.
I remember when we started the podcast because it was in my office because I actually had podcasting stuff because I used to work in radio, and it was when COVID hit and we were doing, if you remember, we were doing two podcasts at a time.
Yeah.
We were doing like interviews with people in the church, and then we were, was it just a follow-up to the sermon? Was that the other?
I think that's what it was. Yeah, it was in the middle, like really right in the middle of COVID when we really got going on it, and I was interviewing different people, and then Jay and Robbie were doing a sermon one, and then, that was exciting times too, just to try something new. But man, you preached on Hebrews 11, which is actually like a massive chapter. I mean, how many verses is it? I'm just looking here.
I think it's 40 some. Yeah. Off top, I did not bring my paper Bible with me.
So it's 40.
Yeah. 40?
Which it's a big one. And it's a big one in the sense that it ties together so much of what we've been walking through in Hebrews. And as all of Hebrews has done, it draws heavily upon the old covenant, Old Testament faith heroes, really. This is like a chapter of that. People who we are meant to imitate their faith.
Yeah.
And I'd love to get into what that means a bit more with you. But you kicked us off by giving an overview of faith itself, which I thought was super helpful because I think that can be a loaded word culturally. So I wondered if we could start there and just maybe re-unpack that a little bit just to refresh people's minds. It's been a couple of days for all of us.
Yeah.
To get at like when we, so this is called often the faith chapter.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Of Hebrews. Let's unpack just for a couple minutes. Like, what do you feel like is important for us to be considering as we even use that word, faith?
Yeah, well, there's a few different angles we can go at with this. And there's a few things that I actually want to maybe mention a few of the things I didn't say on Sunday. Because the word faith itself, like you said, culturally, there's a lot of context involved with it. And I think there's two misunderstandings with faith, right? There's the I'm going to, for lack of a better word, the more secular version of the word faith that's used outside of the church. It's used in the real world. The one that kind of says either a like generalized spirituality, right? So what is your faith? Or, you know, you can talk to people and they say they're people of faith. And then when you try to unpack it, it's just more of like a generalized feeling or the kind of this idea that they acknowledge something exists outside of them, but there's not like an actual, it's ambiguous, right? So I feel like that's one of them. The other one is this idea of doing something out of ignorance, right? So I was going to use this example. I did not. I'll use it here. Is I remember when I was a kid, there was, you remember the skateboarding video game, Tony Hawk pro skater.
Of course I do.
Yeah. I remember that one of the levels had like this neat trick you could do called the leap of faith. And it was just like this like crazy jump that you had to take. I don't remember where it was, but I just, that like stood out to me, this leap of faith. And the reason they called it that is because it's like, oh, this you're doing this thing, but it's, you don't know what's going to happen. There's just this like ignorance tied in mm-hmm. with faith. And so I think that there's that understanding of faith, which is ambiguous spirituality. Or there's another one, which is just kind of like this like ignorant action is kind of the way to put it. And then I think there's this misunderstanding from within the church. So that's more outside of the church. There's a misunderstanding within the church that faith is just kind of, it kind of is like the ignorant action, but it's more of like, it's blind. It's not, it again is kind of ambiguous. It's just it's not tied to anything, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And so what I really wanted to do, because I think that's what this whole chapter is trying to do. And I think in a lot of ways, it's what Hebrews is trying to do, is it's trying to say, actually faith is, and I don't know how you felt about this. I really, when I came across this definition, I was like, wow, that's a really good one. This confident action based upon what God has made known mm-hmm. to me was like, oh, that's awesome for a couple reasons. The first of which was that it's confident action. There's like actual like movement behind it. It's not just like this, it's not just this either emotional thing. It's not just this intellectual thing. It's something that stirs in us to do something.
Yes.
Right? Which affirms what James says about faith, which is faith without works is dead. But then the other one is that it is centered. And so we would say that we're very Protestant. So we would say, you know, hey, faith alone, right? Which is based on Ephesians. But what that means is that it's centered around God. It's completely centered around who God is and what he has revealed. Mm. And that's why I really like that definition, because it can be really easy to just all of a sudden base our faith upon what is done and not upon what God does. And that then takes the shift off of God and puts it on us. But instead, confident action based upon what God has known, or what God has made known, centers God around all of what we do, mm. you know? And so I think mm-hmm. that's what faith is. Faith is, it is at the center who God is, what he has made known, and our response to that.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that that definition moves us beyond like how often I think we use the word belief.
Right.
Because
right.
often belief, we think of a set of facts that we assent to in our mind, but often we might say we believe something, but it doesn't actually move us to any action.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
faith then is the demonstrated belief, really. It's like the actual, we're moving in a direction and action. I also think culturally, sometimes the way the word faith is used is kind of like synonymous with wish.
Yeah, like, yes, yeah.
Like wishing something to be the case. So it's like a, like you heard the term blind faith, for example, is often used in a kind of a disparaging way, because it's like faith is based on nothing. And faith is often put on the other side against reason and faith, and they don't go together, allegedly.
Right.
But they do.
Right. Yeah.
They do, because especially the way you're defining it or unpacking it for us, because we have confidence in God's activity and his action and his presence for reason. There's reasons for that. It's not just we really hope this is the way it is and we can't live without it, so we came up with this story. It's actually God has revealed himself in history, and that's what we're reading about here with even these characters.
Yeah.
Their actual experience of him. So we have good reason to believe and to then trust in action his activity.
Right, exactly. And that should spur in us like this desire to do the things that God has called us to. So there's a big difference between, as you were saying that, I was just thinking of somebody, I was trying to think of the wish definition.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of somebody who, I don't know why this came into my mind, but it did, somebody who goes and buys a lottery ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, I have faith that I'm gonna win big. It's like, well, you actually have nothing to hang your hat on that.
No.
Right. There's nothing there. You are just, you know, by definition, you know, wishing that this thing is going to give you something. Whereas we as Christians, right, when we say faith, like when we say, well, I have faith that God will provide, like I don't see right now, maybe I'm going through a season where I don't see how God is going to bring me through it, I still have faith that he will, because his word has promised that is the case, that mm-hmm. he goes before us and that we get to then walk in that confidence. There's a big difference between those two.
Oh, massive. Yeah, that's a, that lottery example. That's a great example of it. And I think for us as apprentices of Jesus, it is so crucial that we get that distinction in our mind, because we aren't just wishing that today Jesus comes through for us. You know,
yeah,
we are confident that he does, because faith and knowledge are not actually opposed as either. And I think we use those terms differently.
But they actually feed each other.
They do.
Right? Like when we have, and this is why I want to like create an important distinction too, not necessarily, I'm trying not to define faith. I'm trying to just define faith as scripture has defined faith.
Exactly.
Right? So like as scripture has defined faith, like they're not synonymous. Like they feed into each other. Because again, it's this action based upon what God has made known, which is why it's so important to be feeding ourselves intellectually, knowledge wise, right? But like to just leave it there would be nothing. It would just be, you know, I don't know, it just puffs up.
Right. I mean, and like when we read like, I mean, one of the more famous accounts of Jesus directing his apostles is really after his resurrection. In the very end of Matthew, the Great Commission, okay, and he appears to them, and they actually see him with their sight. So at that moment, faith is not involved. So they are seeing him. So there's no faith there. There's actually knowledge. They know him in that moment, because faith involves what you like. It's not tangible right in front of you, right?
Yeah.
But then he announces like all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and then he says to go and make disciples. In that whole period. But then at the very end, like the last phrase of what he says is, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now that they know that he said that, they heard him say that, but what is required then, once he isn't tangibly, like physically in front of them, is faith that what he just said is true, even when it might appear like it's not.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's where our faith gets activated. We trust in what he has said, even though he's not standing right in front of us saying it over and over and over again. We believe because of, and they did that because of the knowledge. They had knowledge of him.
Right.
Right. They knew him personally, and they saw him do things that human beings can't do. They saw God work in powerful ways through his ministry, and then they believed him and trusted him, and that was the faith, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me. So this morning I was in Matthew chapter 10, and so I had shared on Sunday, one of the things that I've been trying to do recently is whenever I read, I try to write down just any couple of verses that just really stand out to me. The one that stood out to me in Matthew chapter 10 was Jesus was talking about the persecution that believers were going to incur. And he said, not to worry about that when that happens, because, and not to worry about what you're going to say, because the Spirit is going to speak on your behalf that the Father gives to you, right? And again, that's like living in faith, knowing like, hey, there's some people out there who are so worried. You know, maybe you have, this is actually maybe really practical, it's 4th of July weekend's coming up this weekend. So maybe you're listening to this and you're going to be spending time with family who you know there's going to be some conversation that might be difficult. Like it's just, you
or
know,
even just agitating, right?
Agitating. All... yeah, exactly. You know, in the best way, right? We love family. We love love having those conversations, right? And so maybe you're spending an extra amount of time worrying about that, or stressing about those conversations that are about to come up. And Jesus says, so this is where like faith comes into play, right? Is Jesus said, hey, like don't stress about that. Like God's going to give that to you in them. Instead, don't put your faith in your work and what you know in you. Instead, put it in God. Put it in the fact that like the Spirit goes with you. He is going to be with you in those conversations, and trust that he'll give you the words that you need to say in that moment. And that's a beautiful thing.
It is. And it's wild how God taught his creation, humans, how to do that. Like through so many different means, and we've unpacked some of those throughout Hebrews. The other one that's coming to my mind right now is manna. The idea that when Israel had been rescued from Egypt, and then they're wandering in the wilderness, not just for a year or two, but for, you know, decades, and God's providing what they need every day through this manna that came from heaven, and they could only collect enough for the day. Except for one day a week, they could collect twice as much because then they didn't do that on the Sabbath. But that was like God, again, teaching his people, this is what it means to have faith. This is what it means to trust me. You have enough for today. You don't take any more than that. And then you trust that tomorrow I'm going to provide more. And so that I love how you got to action with the way you drew that out, because the action there is also not taking too much. That demonstrates your faith,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so it's not
even
just what you do, but it's what you don't do that demonstrates your faith. So they didn't take more because they trusted that tomorrow he's going to provide more. And I think for us then, Jesus says he's the manna from heaven, right? And he says that you need him every day, the daily bread. So that's still where we are called to live. And that's why it's so beautiful to me that we have a chance in this Hebrews 11 to then look back at some of these key characters in the Old Testament and how they trusted and what it looked like for them to trust and have faith in this way. I would love to transition there if you feel like,
yeah, yes.
Like you picked Abel. And yeah. I love where you started the story of you going to the coffee shop and Cain and Abel was like so hilarious. Like I believe you that it happened, but it's almost unbelievable because it's so funny.
So for a while I was like, did that actually like, was I just like so sleep deprived that I made this story up in my head? And so I asked the same Starbucks employee, because she still works there, which is funny. And she's like, yeah, no, that's my, she's like, I remember that. And I was like, okay, just so I'm not crazy, right? But yeah, totally happened. And what I love about that story is that it just highlights, what I loved was the church's response, because they knew exactly what I was feeling in that moment. And what it also meant is that they were familiar with the story.
Yeah.
Right. They were familiar then with what happened between Cain and Abel. That was another reason why I told the story. I was like, okay, let's see who here like knows this story. But as we're like transitioning over to that, so we talked a little bit about faith. And this is one of the areas if I'm thinking back to the message on Sunday, I wish I would have pressed a little bit more on is, and I would have like maybe would have made a little bit more clear is, and this was something that I was reading through commentaries. They pointed out pretty often is that the faith of Abel, or at least like pointing to the faith of Abel, was pointing to faith in our worship. It was pointing to faith in how we worship God. And that's, you can take that a lot of different places. When we talk about worship, we're not just talking about Sunday morning gathering. We're not just talking about music. We're not just talking about
that. That's an important distinction to call out. I'm glad you're doing that.
It is. I still wish I would have gotten a little bit more specific with that, because we believe that worship is a daily, is a moment to moment thing, right? Worship is over the course of our entire lives, which is why I kept it pretty general, is because I think that when we are looking at Abel, we're looking at a specific moment of worship where the Lord respected, he accepted it. You know, it was a blessing, right? And so we're looking at a very specific moment, but we also know that is a day-to-day, everyday moment for us as well, like in giving our first fruits. And so there's this a way of thinking about giving to the Lord in terms of very specific moments in our life, right? But then there's also thinking in general how we give our lives, to how we lay down our life for the Lord, right? Which is one of the calls of the Gospels. Like, hey, you want to gain your life, you got to lose it. Like, that's what Jesus said. But the promise with that, and then I'll let you just kind of like maybe give some thoughts on that. The promise with that is we gain the world. Right? Why would we lose our soul to gain the world? In the other way, like we gain life because we give up our life, right? And that's the what God has made known, and then the confident action in what God has made known.
Yeah, I think that the daily worship that we all are engaged in, I mean, that's such an important thing to draw out. And the way that Abel, his offering of, and I think the way you said it, I want to just make sure I don't want to, you can correct me right here.
Sure. But
what he gave, as you studied that and thought about that, he gave what was the best, the first offering, right? The firstborn. And that would have been the most costly, the best to God, rather than hold back out of fear, right? Of lack, which there's all kinds of reasons that we are tempted in our everyday life to hold back, right?
Yeah.
And so we are familiar with that, I think. But I think the idea of that then being, there's moments where we do that, like in corporate worship, but then really for most of us, it's the everyday, I'm walking, you know, into my home. What is it like?
Yeah.
For me, and what's going on in my heart, or I'm walking into work, or I'm shopping at the grocery store, or I'm driving, or whatever. Those are all acts. Those are moments of worship that we can exercise faith in him that then comes out in us really trusting that we are able to, I mean, even live without constantly protecting ourselves. So that's one that, that would be maybe a, some tangible examples of this. Like Jesus, because we belong to him, and he promises to be with us to the end, and other promises as well, we don't have to live constantly guarding ourselves. We can entrust ourselves to him. We don't have to be hyper-vigilant, looking for danger everywhere. That's an example of where we can do that in everyday life. And our worship to him then is to just freely give of ourselves, and trusting that he will provide. Another one I would say is, when it comes to how we interact with other people, we can either live from a place of people-pleasing, meaning like, I need your approval, so I do this thing or I say this thing because then you approve of me or you delight in me and I really need that. Or we can live from a place of love towards other people, where what we do for them and towards them, our words and our actions, are coming from a place of wanting to do what is good for them, which involves us trusting. That some, 'cause sometimes that's going to be things that they don't love.
Right.
Like, yeah. Right. And that maybe doesn't please the person in the moment, but that involves worship because we're doing that from a reference point of God and his activity in our life. I'm curious for you, as you were like unpacking that, and especially the contrast between Abel and then his brother Cain, what other like reference, like are there other things we can hang our hats on, like getting into the specifics of our daily living? Like in regard to the first fruits, in regard to the priorities.
Yeah. So something that really stood out to me, absolutely. And one of the things that stood out to me, and I didn't even mention this, again, another thing that kind of got cut on the floor, is that Abel's brought up a couple more times in scripture, a couple times by Jesus, and then he's actually going to be referenced again in Hebrews. Mm-hmm. And then Cain is referenced, I think it's in 1 Peter. It's either in one of Peter's or one of John's books. I couldn't remember which one. But there's always this juxtaposition. So there's kind of these two camps or these two categories. And Abel's offering is seen as righteous, and Cain's is seen as not righteous, as sin. But what you look at is the fruit of what... So it's ironic saying first fruits, but then also saying the fruit of what came from the offerings, right? And I think that this is like, to me, is really practical and is really helpful for me. When I look at the fruit, so this passage was, I try to keep it as on track with Abel as possible. I think Cain is actually really interesting in this whole conversation, because the Lord's initial response to Cain's offering is a really graceful and merciful one. He just goes, he's like, hey, to super paraphrase it, to do like the Christoph Message version of it, is he's like, hey, buddy, like, it's okay. You'll get it next time. Like, he basically goes, you know that if you do good before the Lord that I'll see it. And it wasn't until after that that Cain kills Abel. So there's actually this like moment of God's grace and mercy where God goes, hey, I know you're tacking this on kind of last minute. I know this is just kind of some. Like, hey, draw your heart back to me. Draw your heart back to me. But what did that grow in Cain? You see, Cain's heart, and this is why I really wanted to make that distinction of, it wasn't substance. It wasn't it wasn't that it was like an animal versus fruit or seed of the land or, you mm-hmm. know, whatever Cain was giving. It wasn't the substance of the thing. It was the heart of the person that was giving it. Is because with Cain, his heart was not for the Lord. I use the word transactional, and his posture towards the Lord was, what can I get from the Lord? Mm. And he just was not getting what he wanted from the Lord. It was this control thing that was coming from him, right? And look at the fruit that came from that. Anger, jealousy, resentment, frustration, this desire, this need for even more control, so much control that it drove him to a point of, well, if I can't get, I'm going to kill my brother, mm-hmm. which is terrifying, right? That like that's dwelling inside him. On the reverse, or on the inverse, right? Look at the fruit that comes from someone who is laying down their life to follow Christ. And I go, look at the fruit of that. Look at the fruit of the Spirit that's described in Galatians 5, right? Like, look at joy, peace, patience, right? Love, self-control, gentleness, kindness, right? Those are the marks of those who are faithfully walking with the Lord. And so in my brain, I go, what's being produced in me? And so I'm going to give like a really practical example of just like Sunday morning worship, right? We've already talked enough about how worship is not just Sunday morning worship, but mm-hmm. I'm going to use it as an example, right? If we come to Sunday morning worship with the posture of, what am I going to get out of this? Mm. or maybe very specific, like, I need to get this much information out of this, or I'm expecting the music to be a certain way, or right? I have had conversations with people who end up leaving Sunday morning worship just so frustrated because, for all sorts of various things. It was too warm in the, it was, you know, all these different things. And it's not to say you can't have, I'm not saying you can't have complaints about Sunday morning worship. You absolutely can. Like, right? Like, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, I look at the fruit of what's coming from that versus maybe somebody who, I think of like, this is something Sarah pointed this out to me actually with this past Sunday, is that there were a lot of infants that were in Sunday worship and that they were crying, and Sarah's like, it was amazing that you were staying on track. And I'm like, I am so overjoyed that there are families in there who have infants in there who are crying. And I think of the parents who maybe they're like stressing out over their kids, like crying and this, and that, but they're there and they're just trying to grab anything they can because they want to know this Jesus, right? And by the time they leave, maybe they didn't get a ton of like information. They didn't get a ton of like, but what did they get? They came there with just this offering of like, I recognize my need to worship, to go before the Lord, right? And what that's going to produce in them then is it looks a lot more like what was produced in Abel versus what was produced in Cain,
mm-hmm.
You know? And so for me, I'm just going, okay, that's just Sunday morning. How am I then in my life? Like, what is my expectation then for each, what is my expectation when my children wake up in the morning? What is my expectation when we're trying to do bedtime? You know, last night's a great example. Last night, my son did not want to go to sleep, and we are just trying to get him to go to sleep, and he is just not having it. And I'm like, oh man, I'm so frustrated. But am I looking at that as, what can I receive out of this relationship with my son? Or am I looking at it as, I have an opportunity to be a loving father who reflects the same love that I've been shown by God? It's just a very different heart posture, right? It's not the substance of the thing. It's the posture of the heart. So
yeah, that's a great example, because it requires you. So in that moment of parenting or in worship where you feel like this isn't what I was expecting today or what I wanted, if we situate ourselves in reality, which is that we live and move and have our being in God and he's always at work and that none of those things are accidents, then we can activate, their faith can be activated, meaning we can trust. So in the moment of like, my child won't sleep, I can trust God in that moment, or I can choose to not. And trusting him is to believe and to then act that he is at work and that he has good purposes, even for when our heart is like, that's not what I wanted. That wouldn't be my preference. And that happens. That's a normal part of human existence. That's where I think actually our corporate worship on Sunday is a really good place to practice that. So in a lot of ways, we don't want people to be intentionally let down, like not get their preferences met.
Right. Yeah.
But there's something about that when that happens in each one of us that we get to practice in that moment, trust. We get to practice faith.
Absolutely, yeah.
And to believe that God is, he's in control of those things. And that not only that they're happening, but also he has really good intentions for us in the middle of that to bear fruit. And often what in if you took the How People Change class, you've heard this before, but in those moments of, say that circumstance is just heat, use the word heat for it. God intends that in our hearts, when we feel that disappointment or the discouragement, because it's not going how we wanted, he intends for fruit to come out, to grow. And fruit always is a result of trust, faith in his action in us. But often what comes out are weeds and thorns. And always when that happens, when our response to those circumstances is not good, it's because we're trusting in something besides God.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's as a human being, to me, from a biblical, like just reading the Bible, it seems impossible to live without faith. Everyone at every moment is trusting in someone or something.
Absolutely.
It's not like some people walk around not trusting. It's just a matter of who are we trusting or what are we trusting? And then is it transactional? I'm glad you used that word. Or is it relational, that trust?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. I think that sums it up well. And I really like the fact that it's not a matter of, maybe this is another way of putting it. Tell me if you agree or disagree with this. It's not a matter of putting it, if do you have faith or not? The question rather would be, what are you putting your faith in?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always. And I think what it means to live and grow as a disciple of Jesus is to learn what it means and how to trust every single area of your life. And it's one of those things that, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but it is a decision you make. I will do that. But then it's a process of growth and transformation and learning. Because I don't know that, I know at least from my own experience of myself, I often am unaware of the areas of my life where I'm not trusting him the way he intends me to.
Yeah, it's not a mystery, right? Like, yeah.
And sometimes we're blind to it, though. Like, we just don't even realize it. Like, wow, the reason that comment from that person affected me so much is that I was actually really trusting in their approval to make me okay in a way I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think God can, by his Spirit's work in us, as he renews our heart and transforms us, he can alert us to that. And part of what repentance ends up being is repenting from basically building life upon, from trusting in, from having faith in anyone other than God.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's what, yeah. I think what we talk about sanctification or growth and holiness, Christ-likeness, that's what it is. It's learning how to have faith in all areas of life.
Yeah, and you could even, going back to Cain and Abel, you could even say that, you know, for Cain, he may have even had faith in that specific offering to please God. And it was, again, it wasn't the offering, right? Abel's faith was in God to be the one who accepted it, not in the substance of the thing given. I think back to the, we don't have to go too much after this, I just think of the widow who threw the couple of coins, right, in the coffer, and Jesus goes, you know, she gave of everything that she could, right? Like, and it wasn't that it was an exorbitant amount of money that she had, but it was what she had been given. Mm-hmm. She was working with what she had been given, not because she trusted in that thing, but she trusted in the God who was going to use that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Actually, I just was finishing up Luke, and that story, that example from Jesus really struck me. It wasn't the quantity of the gift. It was who she trusted in that moment. Because it says, I think pretty specifically, like, she didn't give out of her excess, but she gave everything she had. And the only way you could do that is from a place of safety and security, knowing I'm okay. God's taking care of me.
Yeah.
And yep. I love that. Thank you for the sermon, man.
Yeah.
It was encouraging to my heart and my soul, and it was good to hear you again in the Word and bringing it. So thank you for doing that for us.
Well, thank you. It was a joy. I love it. I love it. I love getting to preach. It's just a joy. It's a joy getting to hear. I've had a chance to chat with a few people on how God used it. And that's always like the greatest joy, I think, is getting to go, okay, God's doing something cool with this, you know, which is awesome. So thank you for that. I appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, you bet.
So it's been a minute since I've done the podcast. I'll wrap this up, but you'll have to tell me if I'm making sure that I'm hitting all the checkpoints. But if you have any questions that you would like answered on the podcast, if you have any topics that you'd like discussed, if you have any ways that just you'd like to get connected here at Faith, that is a huge burden on our hearts, is to connect God's people with God's people so that we can continue to be people who are walking in faith. The email address is connect@faithpeshtigo.com. If you send an email there, we'll get it, we'll see it, we'll respond. You can do that. And I think that's it. Is that it?
That's great, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great doing this with you again.
So, hey, as you go in peace.